Here's Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider. CJ, how often do you get stopped on the street and people asking you, like, who is this guy? Who is that guy? Like, it's a makeshift lineup every single night, yet it seems to be working for Sheldon Keefe and the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of that. I mean, certainly, as you guys all know from your time around the city, people always want to talk about the team, and nobody ever thinks it's in a great spot, even when they've won as many games as they have over this last little stretch. But, you know, it's I think, a benefit to the organization that they have some plug-and-play guys, as you call them, and those that come up. And, you know, I think it's also good for the program if you have players like SDA, who's going to make his, you know, NHL debut tomorrow. You know, players that have been drafted and been Marlies for a few years and at least get a taste of the NHL action. Even Mac Hollowell there when you know, the injuries hit on the blue line. I think that's a nice little carrot for everyone who's down there in the American Hockey League and has been part of the organization for a few years.
We were talking about this earlier, CJ. It sure feels like we know where this is going, and it's likely Toronto-Tampa in the first round. Do you get the same inclination, like that's where we're heading in 3 or 4 months?
It definitely feels that way. You know, it might be a little soon to call it, not because I see that many holes in the Bruins game, but, you know, I just wonder how long they can keep at the pace they've been going. I mean, a pretty crazy start to the season that they've had. But, you know, all things considered, it's going to be tough to even make up a few points in the standings against a team like that, you know, even with a couple months still to play. And so, I mean, I guess we might get some kind of surprise, but, you know, it does feel as though Florida's falling back and you know, just sort of seems like the stars are aligning for another Toronto-Tampa. And, you know, quite frankly, after watching it for 7 games last spring and the game they played on Saturday night, you know, personally, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
CJ, Mitch Marner got it done, and he's got the point streak. And it seems like in some of his conversations, you know, talking about his dog who loves him no matter what, there's this kind of edge to him about something. Is that like towards the media when they were losing, or I don't know what that is. Is that just something like Michael Jordan that he just he puts it in his mind to drive him? Do you get that sense or no?
Yeah, and I would say I've sensed that at times over the last few seasons. Like, I don't know that that's just a this year kind of thing. I mean, look, he had a pretty rough time, I think, personally, when he went through that contract negotiation. Obviously ended up with a fantastic deal, but, you know, we discussed it and beat it around and, you know, on the radio and everywhere else in media circles and fan circles for 8 months, and I think that was difficult for him. I think, quite frankly, it's probably tough to be a 12-year, you know, 12-month-a-year guy that lives in the city or, you know, up in Muskoka, what have you, in the summertime, but, you know, never really gets away from it and you know, is the subject of a lot of discussion. I mean, the one thing I would say, and I've never lived in public the way that he has to, is, you know, I don't see all that much criticism of him, to be honest. I mean, it might come here and there if there's a little dry spell, but for the most part, I think, you know, he's been celebrated pretty well, and you know, we're talking about one of the top players in the league, and he's compensated that way. He gets ice time in that manner. But, you know, look, life is difficult in the spotlight. You know, another thing I remember Mitch saying a few years ago was, you know, kind of how he had to detach from social media, and I think that's a new reality of the world that wasn't even around, of course, so even when you were in the NHL. And I think for some of these young guys, it can be tough to just be constantly getting barraged with whatever nonsense is out there, because we all know there's a lot out there for every player.
I know. We had our own thoughts about the contract. I think my words were, if you don't want to take what they're offering you, then play somewhere else. But everybody loves the guy. We love the way he plays. We love everything he brings to the table. I don't think there's any.
I think that's where it spawns from, though. I mean, that was an acrimonious contract negotiation for a local guy. There were reports, you know, fans were yelling at, like, people yelling on him on the street. You know, he's in Wonderland, he's golfing. It's like, that weighs heavy on you. Now, he made the decision to go through it the way he went through it. I said at the time, I'll say it forever, I think he did himself damage that was unnecessary. I think he could have played that PR game so much better. Signed on July 1, taken 6 years, 10.5, and you'd be a hero. He didn't do that. That's his choice, and he had to pay the consequences for it. But I don't think he's ever overcome that, because I don't think, because they keep stubbing their toe in the playoffs, it's like it just keeps circling back up, you know? And I think that's the crux of it, CJ. That's my read on it anyway. And it's I don't he maybe he feels I don't know if there's a self-esteem issue there, if he feels like the fans aren't on his you know, bandwagon or whatever, but
everybody loves him, Brian.
I'm with you in terms of in the moment, watching him play every night. The guy's an absolute stud. He's incredible.
Let me chime in quickly, though. Everyone loves him, but think of the vitriol, and Brian, you just pointed it out, that those players went through from the fan base after Game 7.
Here's an example for you. Everybody loves him, but there's some dirtball out there who wants to fake put his name on a tee sheet at a golf course and post it out there, and it goes viral, so people think he's golfing the morning after the playoffs are over. So that's basically the two ends of it. They'll jump up and they'll scream at the top of their lungs when he scores a goal. But some jerk will do that and make it a scene. So I guess that's the two ends of it, CJ.
Well, for sure. And, you know, it's amazing because the way I look at it, I mean, he's probably the most popular Maple Leaf, especially among young fans. I mean, there's sort of a childlike wonder about Mitch, and you know, when you know, quite often when I'm down there at the morning skate, there's guests or people that have gotten in the building. I mean, kids go bananas just seeing him on the ice. I mean, I think he, look, time might take care of all this, right? If this team has a playoff run, and I know that's an if, I mean, he'll probably get into legendary status. I mean, I remember when I was a kid and, you know, Doug Gilmore teams had a couple playoff runs. I mean, that's something that Doug's remembered for fans of a certain age forever. You know, I think Mitch has that opportunity, and you know, I hope it goes that way for him, you know, that he finds whatever pieces out there, because, you know, I do sympathize to a degree with the, you know, whatever he's feeling. He must, you know, he really believes it. I thought you're right to bring up that comment, O-Dog. You know, I saw when I read that about his dog, I mean, it, you know, kind of makes you sad for the guy, because on paper you'd think it's the perfect life. He's a hometown kid, and he's had all kinds of success, probably more than he could ever imagine, you know, when he was a young guy, and he gets to be close to family and all that. But there's another side to the coin that you know, it's not all a fairy tale, right? It's his real life, and there's a lot of challenges built in there.
Well, and you make a good point about never escaping it. I'm wondering how that applies to Matthews, where Austin, you know, I think within a few days of the season ending, he's on a bird. He's out of here. And my understanding, the last couple of summers, and I don't blame him for this, largely because of COVID and all the restrictions up here. It was like he didn't come back. You know, and if he did, it was kind of in and out. I think that's a positive. Like, if you're the Leafs, like, no one's more in the spotlight than him for 7 months, 8 months. Get the hell out.
That's right. It's just a play. It's their home.
Else.
It's where they play. But it's almost like some guys playing football in different sports, they bring their boat up to that city and stay on it. They rent the hotel. That's just where they play. You know what I mean? They're gone.
Yeah.
Right. And I think with Austin, it's a different personality, too. I mean, I just think in general, I don't think he cares what any of us have to say. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I actually think it's a positive. I'd actually put William Nylander, for example, in the same kind of boat. I don't think that William really gets too stung by the criticism that he's received over the years. I think he just goes and does his thing. He believes in himself. He, you know, he kind of has some swagger, and maybe doesn't, you know, has a way to shield himself from it. But look, we're all different. You know, I can be too sensitive to stuff too. I see stuff on Twitter that can put me in a mood. So, you know, I'm not throwing arrows at any of these guys that maybe do take it more, but I think you're right. I mean, Austin just, he has that swagger. I really don't think he would mind anything that was ever said about him. I don't think he'd ever really have an issue with it. He understands it comes with the job, and you're right. He compartmentalizes things. He's got a ways to get away, and I think a part of that is not spending his whole year here in Toronto and, you know, doing other things when the Leafs aren't playing games.
Yep, I think that goes a long way with Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider. We were talking about Vancouver earlier and trying to get a read on their situation. I guess we'll pose a question to you, CJ. Now that Besser could be available via trade, they've got a lot of commitments, like big money commitments to players that it seems like they're uncertain on whether or not they really like them or want them to be there, yet they're committed. So, like, if you look into the future, what is Vancouver in 3 years? Are they taking steps backwards? Do they feel like they're cup competitive? Because I kind of sense they'll be in the same spot. Three years, they'll be.
What about this phase? Who's on the roster that's on it now in 3 years?
Yeah. Go ahead, CJ. How do you see it playing out?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I think they're going backwards myself. You know, one of the things that it struck you know, seemed to me is since new management came in, I think it was almost a year to the day, actually, that they cleaned house there and fired Travis Green and Jim Benning, brought in, you know, Jim Rutherford and, you know, eventually some further changes to the front office, is that at that point in time, they did want to clear out some of the cap troubles they had, and they haven't really been able to move their players and do that in a manner that satisfied them. I still think that there's a chance for that to come. Although, you know, one thing I'd note in this Besser story is, you know, usually when you hear of an agent being given permission to talk to other teams to help facilitate the trade, that's because the GM or, you know, the front office has been unable to find a trade that makes sense for them. And so you're almost, you know, putting some onus on the player's camp to find something to make it work, to, you know, come up with some ideas, because the GMs themselves haven't been able to do it. And so, not to say that Brock Besser won't be moved, but, you know, he carries pretty high cap hit for a player that's only scored a couple goals this year. And, you know, has kind of struggled the last few years between injuries and, you know, some stuff he's had to deal with in his personal life. I think it's been a tough go there for Besser. But, you know, I just don't see a way around them getting close to some kind of rebuild. I know they've always completely resisted that. They never really bottomed out. You know, they might come to them even not by their own choosing at some point in time here, because, you know, they've got Bo Horvat having a great individual year, but he's a UFA. You know, Besser wants out. You know, they signed Pettersson to a short-term deal. We'll see what happens when he gets to the end of that. I mean, he's one of the players that's had a, you know, a really strong start to this year. You know, I see a lot of turnover coming. I don't think that the status quo is going to work in the marketplace. So you see a lot of fans pretty up in arms there, and so change will be the name of the game. I just don't know how long they're going to have to wait to start shipping some of those big contracts out.
That's where I'm at. Change, you know, we always talk about that American Thanksgiving. It's come and gone, and we see some teams that still have to make some, we'll call it, big decisions, including the Canucks. When do you think some of these are coming? I mean, you know, it seems like Vancouver was kind of close to doing something, and then they get a couple wins, and it's quieted down. You know, Ottawa, same thing, couple wins, and you know, things are a little bit quieter. Like, when do you anticipate maybe a shoe dropping on some of the names that have been thrown out there?
I think you're probably into early January before that happens. I mean, for whatever reason, just the way things have lined up this year, that's kind of how it's gone. For example, John Klingberg signs a one-year deal in Anaheim. It included a no-trade or no-movement clause until January 1st, but as of that point, the Ducks are free to trade him anywhere. You know, I know the way that the Chicago were wanted to deal with their situation with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves was basically play the first, you know, whatever, 30, 40 games, and then once we get to January, we'll have a discussion about, you know, how you want this to go, where you might want to go, and so that's kind of been on hold. You know, what I think you're alluding to a little bit there, Noodles, is just some stuff that's more performance-related from the teams. Is anyone going to feel enough heat to pull a trigger? But it just doesn't seem like there's that many. It doesn't seem like there's enough going on in the marketplace for that sort of thing to happen. So, you know, roughly mid-December, I don't know the exact date this year, the holiday roster freeze kicks in, so we're not really too far off of that. And so I would say January will probably be much busier than what we've seen so far this year. I mean, we haven't seen a coach fired, and there's really only been a couple of minor trades to this point.
Yeah, no kidding. How about Darth Vladar getting the start tonight in Calgary against Arizona? Like, wouldn't this be a game where you might want to mix in Markstrom? Seems like a lock win. Maybe that's the issue, and maybe Sutter's not wired that way.
I think the way the world, Hayes, is just they give these guys two. I mean, Jamie can obviously chime in on it. They give them 2 weeks to get themselves right. I don't know what it is. Like, they need the time. That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
He'd be in the net.
Like, I just figured tonight's like, put Markstrom in, get him going, give him Arizona. It doesn't sound like it's happening. I think Vladar's going.
And the other thing I'll chime in before you get to CJ is, you know, Vladar, he's not a space filler. They think he has a chance to be a one in this league. So
right.
it's you know, I know you got Markstrom on term. Up the road, you've got Campbell on term. Demko, the injury, but he wasn't playing very well. Basically, all three backups were playing well in those Western cities. You're trying to get wins. Right now, Vladar's played well. Markstrom came out the other day. I agree. There might be a reset situation with the goalie coach going, hey, just give him a week. Let's see how, you know, get working on some fundamentals.
Yeah.
Feel good about yourself, and we'll find you a start in 5 days. Like, that's what I would be looking at. if the other guy's playing well. And right now, the other guy's playing well, and that's Darth Vladar.
What makes it more of a story, though, is the fact they do view him as having number one potential because, you know, this isn't just, okay, we're letting someone else start a couple games against games we should win. I mean, if he keeps holding the net and playing well, you might legitimately have yourself a bit of a goalie controversy or debate on your hands with your established guy. And I suppose that's, for the team, that's a good place to be in because it means at least one of your players is performing at a level you're comfortable with, but it would seem that that's where things are going in Calgary. I think this is a fourth or fifth start the last 2 weeks for Vladar, so he's had a pretty good run here. And with Markstrom saying there last week that he sucks right now, and you know Vladar still getting these run of games. You know, I guess there's a reset opportunity, but if he keeps playing well, I mean, Markstrom might be getting used to backing up a little more than he's used to in recent years.
That'd be a wild story. And up the road, I think Stuart Skinner is getting the start tonight as well.
He's playing tonight. Yep.
They have no choice, though. I mean,
yeah, you can't play Campbell.
I mean, Campbell's got to get his game in order. That's the thing. Like, the difference
here. What a comment. Like, what a comment. Like,
you can't play him.
Play him.
December 5th. Can't play him. But it's factual. You can't. Like, Washington, again, not very good. They got a bunch of injury problems. And yet, Edmonton.
Darcy Kemper left last game, too. It's going to be Charlie Lindgren.
Like, got to play the backup. Got to get a win.
Well, I mean, Skinner is Vladar. Skinner is homegrown, drafted, although Vladar was traded for. But Skinner's 23. They like him. He's a big goalie that has ability. Like, you know, Campbell, that's a tandem situation. Campbell hasn't played well enough. Bottom line is you're trying to get wins every night. Every night. The league is too tight. So I would, if I'm a coach, I go with who gives me the opportunity that night. And that's right now. It's Vladar and it's Skinner in Alberta. Wow. My opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right. Clearly the coaches agree. We'll leave it there, CJ. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Be well.
Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider, cannot play Jack Campbell right now. We did a bit. We had a bit, spontaneous one a couple of weeks ago, Noodles. You were off.
Uh-huh.
Where we called it something about an ejection, wasn't it? Like it was a shoot deployment or whatever, anything. Anyway, the idea of just completely eradicating the contract, would Ken Holland do it? Like, that doesn't mean make a trade. It means you got the opportunity to completely wash it off the books.
Yes.
It's gone.
We were saying that if any team had to just say, I get one do-over, and
gone.
It's just no penalty.
Doesn't count against the cap. Don't have to trade assets to get rid of it. It's just, it's gone. Do you think Ken Holland, on December 5th, would use that ejection button on Jack Campbell?
Here's why I would say no. Because who's going to play there? Who's going to, when Stuart Skinner at 23 years old,
I know,
24,
but Noodles, wouldn't you say anything else will be better?
No, that's not true. Because take a look at, so Jordan Binnington's playing. Thomas Greiss is the option. And Shesterkin's struggling. It's Yaro Halak who's at near the end. Like, there's not a lot of options out there. Not saying you're
talking
contract.
What about the idea of this for five more years?
That's
four more years.
That's the pitch. I mean, is that if he doesn't get it together, you're screwed.
Right. Like, but I would argue at some point his game will probably come back.
Like, can't
he's
be
a good
this
goalie.
Bad.
Exactly.
Can't
so
be
that
this
would
bad.
Be my counter to that is if there was somebody else that was available, like I don't know who, name a name. If Jonathan Quick all of a sudden was available in L.A., he's on an expiring contract, and, hey, you could flush a contract down the toilet, absolutely. But Jonathan Quick's not available because Cal Peterson just got waived. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, that would be my only counter to that. I understand what you're saying, but you need a two-goaltender system because if Stuart Skinner tweaks a groin tonight or doesn't play well...
Or turns back into a kid who doesn't...
Exactly.
You know, he's still working his way
kid.
Through the league.
Like, I think it's a two-goaltender system throughout the league now, except for how many guys?
Well,
six,
exactly.
Five?
It's four or five.
The guy in Winnipeg is Sorokin the Islanders. He's a star.
Yeah, Sorokin looks great. Soros maybe. Hellebuck. Yeah. Vasilevsky clearly.
Yeah. There's like five or six guys now, and the rest are all like, hey, you know, let's tandem it up. So, you know, Markstrom was one of those guys not playing like that. Last year he was a Vezina finalist.
Right.
Like, crazy how the league is I still think it's upside down with a lot of things. I don't know how you guys feel. Like, they're just crazy storylines every night. Like, Jason Roberts has got 23 goals.
Yeah. It's crazy.
23 goals. Like,
look at his point streak, where he's got points in 18 straight games. And what does he have, like 36 points or something?
Yeah.
Like, it's something crazy in that run. Yeah, it's 34 points.
I can't imagine the attention that that kid would get if he was in, like, a Canadian market. Like, if he was doing that for Montreal or something, it would be, like...
100%.
Outrageous. 100%. Outrageous.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If he was doing that in Winnipeg, even, or, you know, like you say, Vancouver.
Any,
like,
Canadian market.
You know, like, just the noise. I mean, I will say this. We haven't brought up this Brady Tkachuk. Just
he
grabbed his team and put him on his back on the weekend.
Man, is, like, he fun to watch play.
Dude, that guy's he's just a flat-out stud.
He's old school.
Yeah, he is, and he brings it every single game, and he just said to himself and his teammates, I'm tired of the garbage, and let's change our fate here.
It was watching those games, like, even Trouba. Trouba's pissed. You can tell the Rangers aren't playing well. I don't know if you saw Trouba fought last night and threw his helmet at the boards and was yelling at the bench and all that. But, like, that game, watching that Ottawa Ranger game, like, Tkachuk and Trouba, that was like a Ginla LeCavier. Like, those are captains going toe-to-toe at center ice.
That was a good tilt.
Oh, man. That was a big tilt. Yep.
Yeah, that was a good tilt. Old school move from Nate McMillan down in Atlanta. We'll tell you about that. Trae Young and his crosshairs. Raptors, Celtics tonight. Bucks, Saints tonight as well. Our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.